Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. I don't want to discriminate bad people and don't care good, bad. Welcome everyone who want to learn more about SEO, AI, and how you can adjust your strategy to go ahead. Because many things are changing fast. We need to adapt. We need to think about the future. And we need to create this future today. I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Andrea Paternostra. How are you?
Hi, Anatoly. I'm fine, thanks. And thank you for having me again here in the podcast. And the future is now. In 2 hours, we'll be presented the next GPT model. So tonight, and let's discover how to react.
Of course, how to react and how to create this future, especially... You spoke on my podcast 2 years ago, so, and I have no idea why you didn't come for 2 years. Many things change. So that is why I wanna touch everything that was changed on this time and tell more about AI, because today it's a hot topic. New terminology like GEO, generative engine optimization, AI search. Some marketers are scared about the future, some excited. So I want to help all our listeners to become excited, to find the right way how to go ahead, how to win traffic, sales, and many other insights. Andrea, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, about Italy, why you live on this beautiful country, and about some art that you have on your background from your mom's house.
Well, I'm in Sicily just now. You know, it's kind of trendy today. Dua Lipa visited us a few days ago. Now there is Brad Pitt on a yacht here just... close to our seaside, and apart from jokes, I have been a bit busy, so sorry that I didn't come back in 2 years to your podcast, but I've been very busy delivering projects, you know, a lot of corporate training about generative AI, the hype of the moment, and what I'm interested in is delivering value, you know, whether if it's Gen AI or CIO. It's all about value. I see that there is this discussion now about whether to rename our matter into GIO, generative experience. Well, it would be nice to call it maybe search ecosystem experience, even if you don't change the acronym CIO, but you just add ecosystem, because people are everywhere. People switch between chatbots, search engines, and you know, we are marketers, we must be where the value is, where we can add value, where we can respond with our brand exposure, our branded content, our clients' content done for people and so readable even by search engines and chatbots. So everything is about value. What I proposed today is to discuss how to deliver value in the corporate training for generative artificial intelligence, okay? Because I am sort of a bridge between technical people and business people. Why I say that? I studied at Bocconi University, you know, very renowned university in Milan, 18 years ago. So 18 years is a lot of time, it's plenty of time. What I have learned in these 18 years on the market, I studied the management information systems, so how to be a good manager of technology, okay? So the title was business technology and organization, okay, and my specialization. So how to bring in corporate organization the value, the business value of technology. I think that we must be in a corporate setting bottom-fed, but top-inspired. So bottom-down for the inspiration, the enthusiasm, the speed, the need for testing the new tools, the new GPT model, the new cloud, the new Gemini, okay? All of this is delivered individually. Delivered the speed, with the speed of individual and the enthusiasm of individual. People taken one by one, which experiment, which test everywhere. For example, myself, I am a publisher, okay? I studied the technology in the past, but I am a journalist for university education. Yesterday I was able to make myself in 2 hours an automated press review of news about AI with the Perplexity, some vibe coding on Perplexity, and some automation. Okay, I know how to do a PHP file to send this automation from Perplexity through Google Apps script to WordPress, so to how to publish in automation. But it's driven by enthusiasm of a business person like me, which doesn't need any more developer for this, okay? So developer can concentrate on doing very complex technical things and adding a layer of security. Because vibe coding, driven by the enthusiasm of individuals, means that people are empowered to do a minimum viable product, to do quickly a prototype, okay? People are empowered, but people often, very often do this without the security layer. So for example, when I am in corporates, I have been in Italy, Switzerland, in many contexts, okay? And I always talk how to keep data, corporate data secure. For example, chatbots can help you write macros to deliver anonymization of e-commerce data. What we have done in a corporate was to anonymize the corporate data before using them in chatbots like ChatGPT. If you don't do that, you expose personal data of people or sensible data of the company to chatbots, conversational interfaces, you know, and they could spread everywhere, even if you don't deactivate the option, you know, for sending this information to the public models of artificial intelligence, you could do a data breach. You could spread sensitive information of your company. So it's always necessary to think of how to add the security layer to what people are doing by themselves. And the only option to add the security layer is to add awareness through education. Okay, corporate training, university training, education. People must know that they need to add security layers to their vibe coding. Yeah. Sorry, it was a bit long, but it yeah. was necessary all this kind of context to...
Of course, yeah. But yeah, I think security is a huge reason why many companies still don't use AI. And I spoke with many accounting specialists, especially on this niche. Many don't implement AI because they scared that AI can steal this data, spread with others. So that is why these companies often ignore AI. In marketing, it's not common, but still can happen. And Andrea, you know, the last time I started to learn this new geo-optimization techniques, recommendations, some of them I can love when I learn about these new methods, especially when some experts can recommend you need to write like AI to get ranking on AI. For me, I have no idea why ChatGPT or Perplexity or Gemini can leave the link to something that AI can replicate. So, I mean, like, AI platforms usually link to something that they can't generate, to tools, to online studies, to any other products, anything like that. So, because AI can't. But if you write article how to lose weight, for example, or how to learn Italian, Spanish, generative AI don't need to link to your content. There is no any reason, because AI can reply to this question without generating, without helping of any links. Can you tell your method? How to find the way how to optimize content for geo today?
Yeah, the answer is brand. Because, you know, AI needs fresh data. Data are going to finish if anyone is running out of content because they just don't want anymore to produce content because just they fear that their content won't be able anymore to rank on the search engines. So, if you produce value valuable content, whether we produce in a LinkedIn post or in a corporate blog, AI will find that valuable content. Okay, the indexability of LinkedIn posts is higher than in the past. So LinkedIn posts, if well written, well thought, are a good resource for visibility for yourself as a brand, for your corporate. Okay, so let's just deliver well valuable content, and this is our answer to the need for optimization, because AI will need to quote, to find the valuable sources, and to populate the row. We know there's a row of sources that has been always very visible in Perplexity, and it wasn't visible in the past on ChatGPT, but they changed the interface a lot, so they gave more visibility in the conversational interface, in the window interface. They gave more visibility to sources, and Gemini as well is adding visibility to sources. So there is some room, okay, but there is room for few brands. You must be really an entity, you know, speaking of the modern CIO glossary, entity, a corporate or an individual which is recognized in a knowledge graph by search engines, by artificial intelligence bots, which populate, of course, after our prompt populate the answers of chatbots. So if you are a recognizable entity, if you are a valuable brand, you will find some room, but the room will be just a little row of sources for 5, 6, 7, let's say, sources in a deep research, in a quick research, and stop. And the other brands maybe are going to die, or are going to be less visible, and if they just account for the earnings, for their money, on organic traffic, they maybe die. You know, I am a publisher. I am a small publisher. Many things are happening in the digital publishing field, especially in the news publishing. We publish at Italia Weekend News on events and free time leisure. And we needed to change a lot of our approach, okay, to decide whether to write or not some news, because some news are a commodity today, are written by 1,000 sources. 1,000 sources, everyone goes on in 10 minutes on Google News, and you are just one of 1,000, okay, if you are not a giant publisher. Google has penalized a lot small and medium publishers from this point of view. So you just needed to find other channels. You go on WhatsApp and keep a direct relationship on WhatsApp with your audience. You will keep a direct relationship with your public through email and email marketing, direct email, emails, informative emails, and maybe sometimes some promotion. Business value, valuable content, always find a way, like a liquid, you know. A liquid flows, the water flows, and the river, if you just stop it in the middle, the river just flows elsewhere, and we'll find a way to answer and find a new audience, or maybe the same audience, but in another channel.
Yeah, Andre, you know, when I got your email with the topic, rush or regret, you know, I started to think, okay, so it means we have some time, but we don't have a lot of time, yeah, according to the main topic. So we need to do something now. And I understand why, because before AI, probably you could procrastinate a little bit, delay something, because changes, updates were not moving fast like today. Today, according to some data, I don't remember exactly numbers, but it's like, for example, on Gemini, 70% of all results are changing in 2-3 months. Even today, if you ask the same question a few times in one model, you can get different answers. And more companies are jumping to this field, train AI to beat competitors in one side. So we need to move fast to adjust. Can you tell how it's important to do it today and your tips how to train AI fast?
Yeah, my tips would be, of course, to have data of the enough quality. I've been working in these years in a marketing team of a software house dealing with data management. So I am very sensible about the topic of data quality, data governance. Everything depends on the quality of your data. So AI is just as smart as the data that you feed in it, in your model. To understand better how models work of AI, machine learning in particular, I have been studying these years, for example, on Coursera, studying machine learning. There are fantastic courses about regression, classification. That's on the technical, the statistical side, okay? From the business side, the advice is in a corporate setting, for example, to launch a small change team, okay, to champion AI before launching a course involving more people. Or for example, when there is an external partner for corporate learning, like in many cases where I teach as a trainer in corporate setting, I go to a classroom because I am part of an external partner for education, okay? I launch a quick service. It's just a Google form for free. You don't need to invest money. You just need to invest some time, maybe a couple hours, to come up with 10 questions, just to know the people that will be in the classroom, okay? The classroom of the corporate, I mean, so classroom in a business context, okay? I always make a bit of pressure on the corporate people, for example, HR specialist or the IT manager, when we do the calls, the Teams or Zoom, the briefs before the corporate learning, before the actual meeting, I always push to have data about people who will be in the room, what kind of business challenges these people deal with every day. What do they need to make their business processes better, okay? So you just need a few answers, just a few people answering 10 questions. Let's say that if you will have 50 people in your education meetings, and then 10 people only will answer the survey, maybe only 5 people will answer the survey, but you will collect 5 pain points. Maybe, okay? You need to collect data and pain points. You need to not just to know what the big room thinks, the top manager of the company where you are doing corporate training think, top manager, CIO, the chief executive officer, okay, you need their sponsorship, it's great, but you need to know at the bottom what people think AI will be useful for them. If you don't get this kind of engagement, this kind of involvement of people starting from bottom-driven innovation, you are not changing anything in a company, because it will be just a series of mandatory steps from above, but not will be perceived as true innovation, maybe. In regulated environments, for example, I work in finance. I work with pharmaceutical companies. Okay, regulatory, you have regulated environments, banks, pharmaceuticals. You have just to do things because there are authorities. There are people that tell you exactly what you need to do, okay? And this is a kind of business settings where, you should be most rigid, a bit more rigid. It is acceptable to be a bit more structured, to follow rigid processes, okay? But in other contexts, it's better to collect ideas from bottom about quick wins, quick innovations, okay? That would be an advice.
Andre, I want to ask about AI algorithms. You know, we don't know AI algorithms, probably very complex. To be honest, I don't know SEO algorithms. You know, I remember like 10 years ago, that was simple, like backlinks, content, AI. Today, it's plus 1,000 different algorithms, and each parameter can impact differently according to user intent. So it doesn't mean that backlinks play the same role to different keywords, different niches. But a few days ago, we got the news that, let me read this name, it's very tough. It's a Turkish name, Metehan Isyurt, found 59 perplexity algorithms that was leaked online. And of course, I learned about this leak and what they found, nothing special. It's the same like Google has to find content, index content, to choose best content according to authority, topical authority mostly. So Perplexity can analyze if this resource has this topical authority, what kind of authority. That is why Amazon, LinkedIn, GitHub, YouTube, Coursera usually get high results in this Perplexity algorithm. But what I like here, that Perplexity can analyze YouTube titles. So basically, YouTube headlines that Perplexity can see and can rank content according to this data. I paid extra attention to write titles. Here's why. Let me explain a little bit. So once we got a client, and he had traffic like 100K, not bad traffic in weight loss niche in the US, but he couldn't grow this traffic for 3 years. He came to us and asked for advice what to do because the best season is coming. But he tried to update content, to create new content, to play with link building, nothing back. For 3 years. So like stagnation, 100,000 people visited the website and small fluctuations, down, up, nothing special. But what we found on this website, that all meta tags, titles, descriptions were written for the sake of having them. So what we did, we rewrote all meta tags and traffic doubled in 1 month from 100K to 200K, a lot of traffic. And that cost like a few million dollars, a lot of money. After that, we created this tool, youandmiss.com. So basically, if you put any website, it can analyze CTR parameters for title, description from 0 to 100 and can show. So if you have higher parameter, and we use our algorithm, we learn studies from Moz, HubSpot, many other recognizable studies to find out how to optimize at scale all these things. But I was surprised when that Perplexity analyzes and score headlines from YouTube. Perplexity can take these headlines and score in their content. What do you think, how it's important today to write meta tags? Because I see different opinions. Someone can say that description doesn't play a huge role. Google can say, no, description is still very important for CTR. Some experts can say, no, Google can replace description to change with other tags. And so it's still confusing in different sites. So what do you think about title and description today?
Well, it's not easy to answer because basically I don't have an opinion until we have enough data
that
give us some hint. And something that can be interesting, for example, data derived from studies like those ones of Sistrix or Ahrefs, which study, for example, prompts at scale. And after 1 million prompts and their answers, they just do some statistics on this kind of data set. Data set which is big enough to conclude to drive some interpretation of this data. If we think about our observations, they can be valuable, of course, but I think that it's better to be driven by analysis which have millions of data behind. So I don't know if my opinion really counts in this field, okay? My interpretation may count after I study the last 10, maybe researches on that. So my own sensibility is, of course, if Perplexity does all this kind of job on YouTube titles, is because YouTube is a property of Google, and Google is the most powerful player on the market.
Yeah.
So everything that you can do to imitate the most the most impactful player is just a competitive move. It's just a competitive intelligence. So you analyze their property because it's the owner of the biggest search engine still today. Okay, so you need to study everything they do, everything that Google does. And if you study artificial intelligence as well, you understand from a technical side, I mean, machine learning and its models, how almost everything was born in Google laboratories. The most impactful papers, the transformers technology, populating things like large language models, so in ChatGPT today. So we really need a lot of attention for what Google is doing. So it's not, I'm not surprised that they study YouTube titles, okay? Really, yeah. Just.
I decided to ask you this question because you mentioned my loving methods about collecting data from customers, learning their pain points, and the best thing how to you can do it. I mean, like to talk with customers, to talk with salespeople, to learn from them how to learn pain points, because it's not like to open well-known tools to learn keyword research, volume, or anything like that. You need to spend time with customers. And what I found on this Perplexity algorithm, I mean, like headlines, probably headlines appealed when the first newspaper appealed in this world. Like, I don't remember how many hundred years ago, like 500 years ago, the first newspaper came probably in England, if I'm right.
I think Netherlands. It was about trade and tulips, you know, trade of flowers, the very origins of tech capitalism in Europe.
Yeah, so
the first Gazette was about trade of flowers or tulips in Netherlands.
Yeah, basically headlines. I remember one story about a book author. So he published a book. No, he got some sales, nothing special. Then he changed the title and he didn't change anything on this book to get a lot of sales, a lot more sales, because one headline can make the difference. Yeah.
Conversion rate of today, we already know that we just need the time to decide whether to spend our time for experiments like that. For example, you built this tool, you talked about the tool that you built at Unmiss. You are delivering your own special value building this tool, because this tool will give you a special data set, some information that only you will own when you will do data analysis from the answer of customers, so the answer of people filling the forms on your web pages. This is special value. This is something unique. Okay, so everyone must be encouraged to, I think, to make this sector of web marketing, digital marketing, something better. Every one of us should build something and deliver. Deliver, study the data, the very own specific data that only you can have when you collect data through a tool, and then give back to the market some information, and that will also be beneficial, of course, for your brand reputation and your personal branding. But it's the only way to grow, okay? The only way to come back on the market with something unique that only you can have.
Yeah, yeah. Andre, let's talk about the future more. How you can see the future? New York Times published a new article that is that many SEO specialists are discussing today, and the title of this article, SEO is that, you know, but the context was different.
I have read the post from Aleida Solis.
But many people keep reading titles. Okay, yeah. So is that so? I can. Why I need to read the rest? You know, is that so? I don't need to waste time. You know, just forget about SEO. But the context was different. What do you think about such misleading information? I know YouTube can punish for that. I don't know about Google, probably as well, because it's irrelevant. What do you think about that?
I repeat,
especially you have the journalist background.
yeah, but I know it's very complex to deliver information about these topics to the wide public. The other choice would be not to write at all. It's impossible not to write about what's happening. So people must try to deliver information. Sometimes you just fail at a title, while maybe 1,000 other titles of the New York Times will be effective, maybe. But this one has been criticized. I read in a post that some of the people interviewed had no idea that the title would have been like that. So I don't think absolutely that CIO is dead. I think that CIO is changing, and is changing. Don't know if for good or for bad. It's just changing, as a matter of fact. It's changing because people change the way they behave, because some queries have moved to chatbots. And the queries that still are on search engines are different, are with longer phrases, longer sentences, and that kind of natural language that we just desire. So the epoch, the era of short keywords maybe have fallen, but not the era of human search. We just needed to call it liquid search and rebrand to search ecosystem, ecosystem optimization, and let's go on just with these two kind of words to interpret better our new world. For example, the famous sociologist who talked about liquid society was Bauman. If I remember well, their books, their essays have had so much popularity. I remember when I studied at university 25 years ago, he was so popular among the scholars and the public. Bauman has written several books speaking of liquid love, liquid society, the liquid way of modern living, and even the search has become liquid today. So let's just embrace this interpretation, change a few words and do the same work with the new context. And the CIO is still alive, kicking, and it's just different.
Yeah. Andrea, I have my final question about, let's imagine someone who can watch or listen this episode can take only one tip, one advice from all this conversation. What would you recommend to do everyone today?
Know what it means to keep the human in the loop. For example, when I was building that publishing automation, so I told you yesterday on Perplexity, every few minutes, let's say 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I needed a break and to think of the consequences of every step of automation. Am I exposing a password? Am I building something that can result in a automatic publication of something harmful on my website that can be hacked or can be exposed to hallucinations while automating, trying to speed up, but actually I could deliver some harm. So everyone should take away from this talk that we have the necessity to keep the balance, to strike the balance between speed and security while building automations and innovations in general with AI.
For me, it's tough to find the balance. I always try to find the balance, but when I schedule my balance, actions that I need to do, it's always mess. Always, you know, when you start working with something, it's hard to stop, to start working with something else. But I learned about Warren Buffett. he has this mess as well, you know. So, and he achieved great results in this life. He's still alive. I mean, like, he has great results. Okay, Andrei, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this experience, so valuable. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Oh, let's keep on LinkedIn, keep in touch on LinkedIn. And it will be the best way to contact me.
Okay, guys, you can find the link in the description below. So listen to us on Apple, Google, Spotify. We have this live stream on YouTube, LinkedIn, and you will find the link on all podcast platforms. So thanks again, valuable. Love this experience. I'm going to visit Italy. You know, probably many smart SEOs can live there. I need to check out, you know. And I like this nature. So, guys, I recommend to anyone to go to this country, and see you next time.
You're welcome.